This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, Avis Rideout has her hands full. 85 children, 45 nannies, a community of volunteers, and her own family all to take care of. She's the founder and director of Nikki's Place, Agape Children's Home in Chiang Mai in Thailand. Agape has been seen as a successful model for other orphanages to learn from, and they've recently received award for the most outstanding NGO from the Thai government. The founder and director of Agape Children's Home, Avis Rideout, is visiting Sydney on a fairly brief visit, but thanks for coming in, Avis.
Thank you.
So what took you to Thailand in the first place?
Because of a call of God. I'm sure if I go back to when I was 6 years old, God called me to be a missionary back at six. And then I followed that through as a teenager, doing different activities, preparing for that event someday. So yeah. That took me through as a teenager. And then I went as a single girl back in 1972 as a single girl.
Wasn't born then, Avis.
Oh, he wasn't born. You know how old you think I am? Well, we don't have to tell him that today. But that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Really. So that's 1972.
So that's when you went to Thailand.
Yep, that's when I went to Thailand.
So you're quite at home there then, obviously.
I've been there 35 years.
Yeah.
So 35 years is a big chunk out of my life, even though I'm still very young today. Just 64 years old.
Absolutely.
That's pretty young.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what's Chiang Mai like for us? For those of us who've never been to Thailand, can you describe it a little bit? Give us a taste.
I think you should come to see it. You said, Katrina, you haven't been there, so you should come and see
no,
it.
I've never been there.
Chiang Mai is a beautiful, it is a very beautiful province in the north of Thailand. It's got lots of friendly people, delicious food, cheap food, good shopping. But, you know, there is still a sad part of it. In the north is where the beautiful girls come from, and a lot of the prostitutions are from the north.
So that's where the AIDS and HIV
comes
from.
That's right. That's a lot of it. So I think when I talk about Chiang Mai, it just kind of hits me a little bit hard because I know that's where they say, hey, that's where we get our girls. That's where they come from, where I work. And it kind of, it's like a mother's heart. It just kind of makes me.
It breaks.
Really breaks. It does.
And so are the children that you look after, are they sometimes the product of these kind of liaisons?
Absolutely. Or? You know, I started the Agape. Really, my husband and I have been missionaries in Thailand for, like I said, for 35 years. And I was there when the AIDS crisis broke out 15 years ago. All my life, I had said I would have an orphanage. That was a dream of my life. I was going to be a missionary at 6 years old. I said that. Mm-hmm. As a teenager, I talked to my family, my friends. Hey, one day I will have my own orphanage. I talked like that all my life. Mm-hmm. But then when it came down to the time when for me to start a home for HIV AIDS, that was not in my plans. But I knew that God had that already designed. It was in his plan before I was even born. So obedience brought me to the place where I am today. Obedience.
So tell us how it came about, the vision for this children's home. Where did it come? Where did it come from?
Yeah, and so I was a volunteer as a missionary visiting the government orphanage for 10 years. I did volunteer work. But the seed was planted when I adopted my first boy from that government orphanage. My son Caleb today is 25. I adopted him when he was 2 years old. I have three adopted children and three biological. And so the seed was planted back then when I adopted that boy, and then I did volunteer work. And so it happened that I was there when I heard that kids were brought into that home and they were dying very quickly. The statistics will never be told, but they said over 100 per day at that time was dying from HIV/AIDS.
Was there a bit of a sense that these kids with HIV/AIDS, you know, that you'd let them die because they didn't have much of a life?
And that's the heartbreaking thing, Corinne. What's your name again?
So, Katrina.
Katrina. That's the heartbreaking thing, you know what? Because people were not seeing, adults as well, they were not seeing kids as real people. They were seeing them as a thing that they couldn't touch, and they didn't want to get near them. And maybe they were scared they're going to contract.
AIDS.
You know, they said you're going to contract AIDS or something like that. So I think that's where my heart broke when I saw the first group of HIV kids in an orphanage. That was the first time I ever saw AIDS, never touched it, never felt it. And I actually did touch it then, and I did smell it. I smelled the virus, I smelled death, and that's when God really got a hold of my heart. He didn't have to really get a hold of me very hard. I was prepared.
You're already there, really.
I was already there. I was in the crisis, and now what am I going to do about it? So that was the question, Karina. I was asked, what in my heart, what will I do with a situation that I'm looking at in that orphanage? And I answered God and said, hey, give me one seed, from that group of kids that were dying with AIDS, and I will start a home in the north of Thailand, Chiang Mai, to bring in rejected, not wanted, unloved kids. And that's how why I started Agape.
So when you say you wanted that one seed, this was the baby Nikki?
That's right. Nikki was on the mat with the others that were dying. Bloated stomach, no hair. I mean, Nikki was there, released from the hospital, and her chart read, leave her to die. She was already in the last stage of AIDS. And in the eyes of the government or society, she was just another number. She was not a person. But in his love and his mercy, God reached down into that orphanage of over 200 kids and handpicked Nikki right out for me to do what I'm doing today. You know, God takes the rejects and makes them into beautiful people. And that's his plan. That's what he wants to do.
So Nikki went on to become your first foster child.
Right. And so and then I made a plan. Then I made a promise to God. Give me one seed. And I took Nikki out of the... I got her out by miracle. I got her out.
They didn't actually let you take it, did they?
Oh, it was just a... it had to be a miracle for me. I was a Westerner. And Nikki was dying with full-blown AIDS. I couldn't foster her. I couldn't adopt her. And I couldn't get her out. But God opened up a big door. It was like a big
door. So how did you get her out? How did you get her out?
You know, I dressed her. Full-blown AIDS, dying. The smell of the virus was terrible. I dressed her, went to the main office, and I asked the director, I said, Mayuri, would you please give me this little girl so I can take her home? Because I had prayed in my heart, give me one seed, and I would do this. And so I went, and she said, no way, Avis, you will never get this girl. And she said that you're a crazy woman. You got four kids at home. She's dying with AIDS. You can never get her. And then I asked the second time. I said, Mayuri, that was the name of the director, I want this child. And she looked at me. She said, not a chance in a million years when you get her out of here. She said, I'm a government official. If I did that, I would lose my job. So I need to really talk fast because I'm almost at the end of it. And, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me just like that. And I was so persistent because I felt it was not my voice that was speaking to her. God saw, looked down at these orphans. He has such passion and love for them. He loves them so much. And so all of a sudden, I said to Mary, I want this little girl. And she said, Avis, the green light just went on in heaven for you. And that very day, I took Nikki out of that orphanage. Never was heard of. And then I never applied for adoption. There was a lady in Bangkok at the International Adoption Agency, heard the cry of my heart through somebody else, applied for adoption in Canada and in Thailand. And I was given Nikki as the first HIV/AIDS child to be adopted in Thailand or in Canada. So that's miraculous. But there's many miraculous things that happen from day to day.
All right. I'm speaking with Avis Rideout. She's the founder and director of Agape Children's Home in Chiang Mai and Thailand. So Avis, tell us a little bit about the work of your home. How many children do you care for and what do you provide for them?
Okay, so we're back to Agape, and I've taken in over 200 plus kids, and 60 plus have died from the HIV/AIDS virus.
That must be hard to
cope with. Really difficult, very difficult. But one thing, though, that, you know, it's really important to know that not one of these children died alone. And I think that was the thing that I majored on. I saw so many kids left in back rooms in hospitals, left anywhere on the streets, wherever, and left in corridors in hospitals, not touched, unloved. And that's what makes Agape so different than other places. The value and the care of life that we give them, the Agape love, unconditional love. So they have died, 60 plus, but died with somebody holding them or touching them. And then we have a mother and baby unit right on the grounds of Agape as well. We take in moms with full-blown AIDS, with children as well. And we have seen 20 plus of them die as well.
The mothers have died.
But we have seen triple of that. They come in on stretchers. They come in weighing 20-some kilos. And we administer the Agape love and God's love into them. And we're seeing them today coming from stretchers, from skeletons, and they are out in the community working. Yeah. So God is at work because his love is powerful. So at Agape, we have a nursery school, And we have a kindergarten school on the grounds. Then at grade one, they go to the public schools. We have just built 5 homes on the grounds as well. And that's so our kids are now 19 years old, down to babies, that they can have a family, they can have their own mom and dad. And we put 10 children or 10 people in one home. Mm-hmm. So give them more of a sense
family
of
the,
yeah, a family. Yeah. Because they do feel they're different. They don't want to tell people they're from Agape, a lot of our teens. Agape is a place where HIV/AIDS children live. Mm-hmm. So I've made a promise to them I would do this. So that's what we're doing right now and taking care of them. So we give them a good education. We give them good food. We give them mainly the love that they need. And so today we have 80 plus kids there with lots of volunteers from Denmark, Australia, mm-hmm. Canada, America, around the world. We've had 70 plus kids adopted from kids are not HIV, but the parents have been HIV. So we are kept busy.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Now you also, just briefly, if you can tell us a little bit about Project LEC, because that's an opportunity to help parents and children to stay together, isn't it?
That's right.
They don't need to go in a home.
Right. The first little baby, his name was LEC, which means small. And we saw the heartbreak of that mom that really wanted to care for her son in the village. We had a volunteer from Holland at the time, a Dutch lady. She gave us our first month to support that mom to take her baby back into the village. She stayed at home with him until she died, until the baby died. And so today, for 13 years, we're doing the same. We have grandmothers that are 70, 80 years old. Their daughters have died with AIDS. Their son-in-laws have died. I mean, we've seen like 5 to 1 family have been mm-hmm. just snuffed out with this virus. It's really terrible. But today, we're still able to give uniforms, food at school, bicycles. We can support them with... I remember one Project LEC lady. We give her very little money, but she said she felt now that she was one of them in the village. She was not poor anymore because of that amount of money that we gave her.
And that enabled her to keep caring for that child at home rather than putting them into an orphanage.
And really why we did start it, because my heart would break every time a mom would come to Agape and pass that baby over into my arms. Mm. And I thought, this shouldn't have to be that way. Mm. But because of fear and rejection and not really letting anybody know that they were HIV. Maybe they did know until they just had that baby. They got their blood test and they found out they're HIV. And so that's why that I made a promise. One day I would do something about it. We would get the news within 1 to 2 months that mom had died. And was not because of AIDS.
So you mean after she drops her baby off, she dies of a broken heart?
Broken heart. Broken heart. And so now we're finding more and more that this relationship between the grandparents or the uncle or the aunt, and often it's the mother as well. So we help them with different activities in the villages as well.
Mm, okay. Well, it sounds like obviously a great work that you're doing and that it makes a huge difference to these children who otherwise, I guess, often would have no one to care for them. That's How right. can we support your work? Do you need volunteers? Do you need sponsors? What can people do to help you?
You know, if we can get sponsors, we can take in more kids. I think that's the difficult part right there is getting more sponsors. I tell people $1 a day, $30 a month can really support a child at Agape, which means that would help them with their education. It would help them with their medicine. It would help them with their food, for their clothes. That money is really an investment into a child's life, because we want our kids to make a difference in their country. Not in my country or your country, in their country. We want them to know that they're valuable, they're special, they are an individual, and they can have a life. My daughter is 18. Nikki brought her in full-blown AIDS at 2 years old. Today, Nikki Ryder is 18 years old. And I want to treat her as equally as my 15-year-old, it was Ty as well. And everybody at Agape, we stress that. So if you sponsor a child, it means it's giving them an education. It's helping to feed them. It's helping to clothe them. And maybe it's only a one-time thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a Project LEC that you like to get involved with. Whatever people mm-hmm. can do to help. Volunteers as well.
Yeah, so volunteers, is that generally younger people or
anyone? You have to be 20, but we do have a couple today at Agape. They're 18. We've accepted a lady from Australia. She was 18. We accepted another lady from Denmark as 18 because they're more mature. And so really that my volunteer coordinator, Laura Borg, is from Melbourne. My manager, my developing manager who started the work with me 15 years ago, Jane Arnott, is from Sydney. Mm-hmm. So, and my building coordinator who helped the Bella Agape is from Canberra. And his wife was the accountant.
So if you, what you say, if we go there, you'll have a few Aussie friends to hang out with.
You listen, you'll be able to understand your
accent.
Accent, that's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Avis, for coming and telling us about your work. We really appreciate it, and God bless you. Yeah. That's Avis Ryder. She's the founder and director of Nikki's Place, Agape Children's Home in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Their website, if you want to find out more, is Nikki's Place, so that's N-I-K-K-I-S, nikkisplace.org.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.